Morning, we're going to be in the book of Nehemiah, for those that are going to follow along. I'm going to try to give a very brief overview of Nehemiah and Ezra, who we're going to talk about today. For my Nehemiah and Ezra scholars, I'm going to leave a bunch of stuff out. Forgive me of that. We just need a snippet so we kind of understand the backdrop as we talk about these folks. So Nehemiah and Ezra, in a snippet, were a dynamic new duo back in the day when the Israelites had been held in captivity by the Babylonians. Once the Persians overtook the Babylonians, they decreed that the exiled Israelites could return home to Jerusalem. At the time of Nehemiah's calling to serve God and the Israelites in rebuilding Jerusalem, he was a cupbearer in the Persian court. He, after hearing Jerusalem was in shambles, the gates had been burned down, the wall was broken, he received permission to return to his homeland. Ezra had previously led a group of Israelites back to Jerusalem from Babylon, so he was already there. Ezra was a scribe, which is a person dedicated to study God's word, to apply it, and to teach others. Nehemiah was focused on rebuilding the city of Jerusalem and restoring the population. Ezra was focused on rebuilding the community of Jerusalem and restoring the people. So kind of the physical, Nehemiah's main focus, and the spiritual was Ezra's main focus. But they knew they needed each other. Nehemiah knew success would only come from rebuilding both the physical and the spiritual. So he called upon Ezra, and the two became a leadership duo that turned the nation back to God and started rebuilding and gathering people up that were scattered all over the place. That's my 60-second snippet. There is so much more to that. but that's kind of the backdrop of these folks. So we pick up the story after the wall was restored and rebuilt, and Nehemiah... And the timing of building that wall was 52 days, and that's a whole other cool story about how God intervened and the surrounding nations and Israelites could see that only God's hand in that could be where that could be done in 52 days. And there's a whole slew of scripture about how people were trying to keep that from happening because they knew that God was going to be behind these Israelites. So that's a really cool story. You can back up in Nehemiah if you want. The population is still small, living in Jerusalem, because they've been scattered. So God gives Nehemiah the idea to call together all the folks for registration that had returned to Judah, the region that Jerusalem was in. And so we pick up the story when everybody's called back together. So Nehemiah 7:73, so the priests, the Levites, and the gatekeepers, the singers of the temple servants, and some of the common people settled near Jerusalem. The rest of the people returned to their own towns throughout Israel. So some people were called and they lived in Jerusalem, and some people were still in some outer towns. In October, when the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled with a unified purpose at the square just inside the west gate. So everybody registered, some people started living back in Jerusalem, the houses hadn't been built yet, but the wall is up, and then some people are living in towns surrounding the area, but this calling is for everybody to come together with one purpose. So now we're all gathered back together. They asked Ezra, the scribe, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. So on October 8th, Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men and women and all the children old enough to understand. He faced the square just inside the water gate from early morning until noon and read aloud to everyone who could understand. All the people listened closely to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. To his right stood, and forgive me as I go through the slew of names, Mattathiah, Shema, Anahiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messahiah. To his left stood Pedahiah, Mishael, Malkijah, Hashem, Hashabadanah, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Ezra stood on the platform in full view of all the people. When they saw him open the book, they rose to their feet. Then Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people chanted, Amen, Amen, as they lifted their hands. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Benai, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hadahiah, Mezahiah, Kelitah, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Peleah, then instructed the people in the law while everyone remained in their places. They read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand each passage. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, "Don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God." For the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah continued, "Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And the Levites too quieted the people, telling them, "Hush, don't weep, for this is a sacred day." So the people went away to eat and drink at a festive meal, to share gifts of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they had heard God's word and understood them. "Don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God." For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the word of the law. Why? The people understood what was read to them and realized how far from God they had gotten. Through separation, by disobedience, by sin. So after their realization, what's really cool, and I'm not going to go through the rest of Nehemiah, of course, I encourage you to read it for yourself and go beyond. But what took place after this is they had their feast. And then when you pick up the story in 13, they go on to study more. Isn't that cool? They read, they understood, they realized, hey, we've got some stuff going on. They started weeping. They were told this is a celebration. It's a celebration when you have self-awareness. And then what they did next was they went to study more. And they go into an 8-day festival where they spend time with God. They spend time learning and studying more of the scriptures. Then they move into confessing their sin. And then they all agree to obey the law and sealed it with a vow. And they ratified it and wrote everything down. Then they started living differently by enacting reforms, making changes in order to improve their spiritual lives. And guess what? Jerusalem physically was also rebuilt and brought back to health, if you will. What a journey. I know I use that word a lot, but a lot of things in life is a journey. It's not a light switch. There's a lot of things that happen to make the lights happen. We just see the lights on the surface, right? And we have nice little switches that turn things on. But there's a whole bunch of things behind these walls and above where wires are ran. And it's a process to run those wires. It's a process to put in the little boxes. It's a process to ensure everything is safely secured into the electrical box. That's kind of like what we're talking about here. They had the vision they wanted to follow the law, but they had to relay wire. They had to reposition boxes, if you will, to eventually be able to turn the light switch on. It's a journey. This self-realization. These people's lives were changed. Now let's look at some other folks that also got to listen to some scripture and how they handled it. So if we move to Luke 4, 14 through 30, this is after Jesus goes into the wilderness after the temptation. So then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak. "The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled to this very day." Everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his mouth. "How can this be?" they asked. Isn't this Joseph's son?" Then he said, "You will undoubtedly quote me this proverb, physician, heal yourself, meaning do miracles here in your hometown like you did in Capernaum. But I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. Certainly, there were many needy widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the heavens were closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine devastated the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was sent instead to a foreigner, a widow of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, but the only one healed was Naaman, a Syrian." When they had heard this, the people in the synagogue were furious. Jumping up, they mobbed him and forced him to the edge of the hill on which the town was built. They intended to push him over the cliff, but he passed right through the crowd and went on his way. Drastic difference to hearing the word and understanding what the word meant. Drastic difference. The people of Nazareth weren't ready to receive, and they struggled hearing the good news and connection of Jesus fulfilling the promise. The son of Joseph, what? They knew him too well, if you will. They could not grasp that the Messiah would come from their own town, maybe. Or maybe they could only visualize this young Jesus running around with his brothers and sisters. Didn't grasp that he was grown up and living his truth and what he was called to do. And where are their hearts? Are they aligned or disaligned with God's will? Jesus basically calls this out when comparing them to the widows in Elijah's time. Elisha was not always welcomed where he went. We know, reading back in the Bible, they were actually trying to kill all the prophets and chased after him. Two groups of people hear the word. One group shows remorse, studies more, works together, moves to reform and change their ways, and vows to obey and follow God. The other group questions with intent to debunk. They were moved to anger and moved to violence. I'd say one group has self-awareness that they were broken spiritually, and the other group did not. Receptiveness is associated with awareness. As we close here, I've got a few things to meditate on. God may be opening other things to you, but these are the few things that I had. One, we can be convicted by the word of God and reform our lives at any time. Your gates could be burned. Your walls could have crumbled. But with God, those things can be restored and rebuilt at any time. Two, when you understand and are convicted by the word, it is a time of celebration, not a time of remorse and shame. Not a one person sitting in this room or sitting where you're watching today is free from sin. and as we continue to grow on our spiritual battle, maybe we're not doing this anymore, but we're certainly doing something else. Look ahead, move forward, continue to grow. 3, sometimes we are called to be the messenger, Ezra and Nehemiah, and we get to witness reform, like they did with the Israelites. But sometimes we get to be the messengers and we are unwelcome. Both scenarios are okay, by the way. Both scenarios, as long as you're in line and doing what God called you to do, it's okay if you get to see the transformation or you don't. You did what you were called to do. Because Ezra didn't change the people's hearts. Who did? God. If you are the unwelcome messenger, move on after you've done what you're supposed to do. It's not in your control to change someone or a group. Jesus left Nazareth. Even Jesus delivered the message, and then he passed through, and he goes on to Capernaum. And in Luke 9, when he sent out the disciples, he told them to leave town dusting off their feet if they were unwelcome, signifying that they're leaving the town to its own fate. 5, when you are moved to action when hearing the word, study more. Sit in your tent of reflection with God to understand your motives and ensure they align with God's will. Group 1 was led to reforms, bringing them closer to God. Group 2 was led to anger and spontaneous violence, taking them further from God. Take the time to understand clearly and be firm in understanding what God's will is for you before you move to action. Those are a few nuggets. As you sit in your tent of meditation on these words, there might be other things for you, and I do encourage you to go back in the scriptures for yourself. Study more. Ensure you're aligned with God when you're moved to action. Let us pray. God, may you open our hearts and minds today to see where we may need to reform our behaviors. May we have courage to explore. May we have courage to become more self-aware and confess our sins so we are free to move forward and not held back by our chains. May your will for each one of us be revealed in our lives and that our behaviors align with that calling. In your precious and glorious name we pray. Amen.